seeing some contraction in the market, even some merging of funds and things like that. There's some news, Countdown Capital, who had a solo GP, came back.
So, today's episode is supported by the Undefeated Underdogs podcast by Sharad,
podcasting and community building expert. So, the Undefeated Underdogs tell stories of underdog successes. The focus is on untold stories of underdogs achieving success in startups, VC, and personal journeys. The themes are motivation, insights, and engaging. And the benefits are to get inspired, learn from the best, enjoy the ride. So ready to hear these powerful stories? Find the Undefeated Underdogs on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. So hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. So today we're joined by two phenomenal guests. We're joined by Tristan of Spark GCA and Andrew, who is the solo GP at Irreverent VC. So hi both of you guys. So first, Andrew, so I'd like you to kind of introduce yourself, like what you do, and then I guess Tristan, you can introduce yourself afterwards.
Sure. Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm Andrew Gluck. As mentioned, Solo GP, founder Solo GP of Irreverent VC. Irreverent's an early stage fund I started in 2019. So my background's really heavy in digital marketing and e-commerce. I spent about a decade in the space. I worked at a few different companies. I worked at The Vitamin Shoppe. I worked at Quidsy, which was an Amazon subsidiary. And then in 2014, I co-founded Agency Within and grew it to be one of the largest independent digital marketing agencies in the U.S. So worked really focused on performance marketing, really focused on Google and Facebook advertising, as well as all the other channels like Pinterest, OTT, Snapchat, influencer, TikTok, SEO, CRO, everything really. And then grew that agency to 100 plus clients, 100 plus employees, worked with a lot of enterprise brands, brands that are probably recognizable, like Nike, Intuit, Shake Shack, Spanx, Etsy, and then work with some of the fastest growing startups as well. Companies like Goop, Rothy's, Helix, Bandeer, Billy, Zola, Lola, Petflow, Trade Coffee, Twillery, and others. And then in 2018, I had a successful exit from the agency. And after that, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, realized kind of looking back at my time at the agency, what I'd really enjoyed was working especially with founders and founding teams and working with early stage companies. So wanted to get more involved in that space. And so 2019, I started Irreverent, started angel investing and advising in early stage companies. I did that for about 2.5 years. Angel invested in about 25 companies directly. Did pretty well there. I was the first investor in a company called Lunchbox, which is like a Shopify for restaurants. I was an early investor in the ad tech space in Marpipe and in Co-op Commerce, which is now Disco. Early investor in the D2C space in Caraway, in Branch Furniture, in Cadence, in Cheeky, and others. And so kind of based on that success, track record, and my network and what I built in at the end of 2021, just about 2.5, 3 years ago, went out, raised a fund, early stage fund, $9 million fund focused on ad tech, e-com enablement, next-gen commerce, kind of professionalizing and institutionalizing what I had done as an angel investor, and have been investing out of that fund for, like I said, around 2.5 years now. I'm actually almost fully deployed with fund one and then going out and starting to raise funds too soon.
And the trajectory in your career path, and yeah, amazing to hear. So Tristan, now I'd like you to give your intro and like, yeah, what you can share about yourself and all that.
Absolutely. Well, first, you know, thank you for inviting me. I love having these talks always. My background for the last 11, almost 12 years has been in the online content and entertainment space. I started on YouTube as an influencer, grew into the influencer and talent development space, launching brands in the esports area mostly. And then really did a lot in that space, still running a organization that's developing talent and lifestyle initiatives. Grew some other businesses throughout a period of time. I've worked with some of the biggest record labels that you can think of in the rock space, especially in North America. Also done tons of brand deals with companies that are widely recognized globally. And then I launched a marketing company in 2017 called Spark, to really help influencers and brands that were trying to navigate the digital space through esports and the creator economy. Successfully pivoted that company multiple different times to being a startup studio and incubator, all the way to now being a venture capital fund where we invest in everything from early ideation all the way to late stage, Series A to Series D companies. Some of the notable ones that we've done, Substack, DoorVest, Blue Wire. We've also done a few of some really other interesting companies in a wide range of different areas. Also a mentor to tons of startups out there and startup communities. And then, I do a few other projects as well, and also launching a new company called GRFK, which is a content, culture, and creative engine with a few different businesses underneath it.
That's really awesome to hear, Tristan, that you have this experience in the creative space. Now you're doing something in the VC space as well. And you're also doing some angel investments on the side. So I guess for both of you, you kind of had some angel investing experience. So my next question is more like, let's get into the meat of the actual conversation, like why you guys are here, which is like the round table and answering some questions on the round table. So my first question I'll pose to Andrew is, what's the state of solo GPs, emerging managers? Any current trends that you're seeing in the space?
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's if we're having this conversation anywhere from 24 to 36 months ago, 2 to 3 years ago, I'd say it's on the rise and trending, and just the amount of people either starting from similar to Tristan, other backgrounds coming in into the space, or folks leaving firms and going and starting on their own and becoming a solo GP. I'd say it's on the rise. I think lately what we're seeing, especially tail end of last year and now this year, is more and more folks, whether we're on that path or we're thinking about that path, turning back and actually not continuing. So I mean, I'm still excited about it. I think that there's an ability to, as a solo GP, to be contrarian, to move quickly, to really connect with founders as a former founder, as a current founder of a fund, that's differentiated. However, I do think that generally I am seeing some contraction in the market, even some merging of funds and things like that. There's some news, Countdown Capital, who had a solo GP, gave back some of their capital, or didn't call their capital from their investors recently. Had more to do with their, seems like it has more to do with the industry that they were targeting, and what they thought was feasible from a returns perspective in the hard tech industrial space, which I'm not as familiar with, but definitely, hearing rumblings and seeing things where, folks are who are doing this are rethinking it. And then also some of the folks who are kind of doing this, on the side, in some ways, or doing this in addition to like another full-time role, whether it was as a founder of a VC-backed startup or founder of a, more established SaaS company or things like that, doing less and less of that. I think that has to do with a combination of a few things. I think it's harder than people think, sometimes from the outside. I mean, it's hard. Some things are harder, some things are easier. I think, just like founders, if you kind of knew what you'd have to go through as a VC, which is an easier job than founders, you might not make that decision again. And then, capital, access to capital is much tougher now than it was, back in the heyday, again, 2, 3 years ago, in the ZIRP era. And I think the outcome potential of some companies and excitement about some companies is also has been dampened a little bit and beat up over the last 12 to 18 months. So to me, that's a good opportunity, a time to shine and stand out a little bit, a time for some of these companies who might not be able to raise, might have to bootstrap to a little bit further in revenue, might have to get a little leaner and to be able to continue, right? The old adage, good men, again, not just men, but that's the, the quote is, good men make, good times make, weak men made hard times make good men. So we're in that cycle where it's hard times. And so hopefully that means that we see a lot of good companies and good firms also built during this time period.
And Tristan, any inputs that you want to share on that front?
I sort of have a differentiating opinion than most of the industry, where I think the state of solo GPs right now is very healthy. I think, to kind of echo a sentiment that Andrew made, where a lot of people don't realize how hard it is being a founder. It's almost as hard as being, a solo partner of your own venture fund. Because, it's relatively a lot, tougher. Yes, you're not building a product or a service, other than, investing in the people, but it's easier to create a company than a venture fund. But I think right now, with a lot of the, winding down of certain funds, it's really creating a, I'd say, ability for new players to come into the space. Depending on their particular thesis and sector that they want to target, and thus, creating, I think, healthier competition. It's very hard for a lot of people to get into venture capital if you don't have the funds or the connections or, the fellowship experience necessary to get into the space. So that's something that I've been also trying to do a lot, is to help people, whether they're in high schools, colleges, and postgraduates, with trying to get into the space, whether they're based here in North America, whether they're based in Europe, Australia, and other regions. But I think ultimately, I sort of compare the state of solo GPs to how, like, esports was for the last, 6 or 7 years, where there were all these people who came in with, the ambitions of launching a successful business, or in this case, a successful fund, and realizing that maybe, it wasn't the right time, or that they aren't, a perfect fit for that, type of business environment. So I think right now, with the corrections that are happening in, the venture industry, it's a better time for solo GPs or emerging managers who want to launch their first fund.
Yeah, I think both of you had differing opinions, and I think both of your opinions had some merit to it. And so it's always interesting to hear like contrarian takes or like different takes from guests. So Andrew, so let's start with you. So you mentioned how hard it is. So how hard was it to actually fundraise as a solo GP?
Again, it was harder than I thought and easier than I thought at the same time, if that makes sense. I had I kicked off my fundraise in the summer of 2021, and had raised kind of the amount that I was targeting pretty quickly. It was a 2 3 month process, but it was also a 2 3 year process. Beforehand, I'd been angel investing, building a network in the space on top of the 10 years that I'd been doing digital marketing. And so, had met a lot of folks, had shared deal flow with a lot of folks, had kind of laid the groundwork. And then, fortunately got connected to the folks, AppleCore Holdings, who would eventually become my anchor investors towards the end of 2021. And that was a unexpected nice surprise. So in some ways it was easier than I thought, but it was also, there's a lot of no's out there. And so you have to, just like any sales process, build a good pipeline, understand, what you're selling and who you're selling to, and why they might be interested and why they might not be interested. And be comfortable with those no's and get out there. You're asking people to entrust you at the end of the day. Yeah, you have a thesis, and kind of a plan of what you're investing in. However, at the end of the day, especially for, especially Fund One, where you haven't really built a track record beyond angel investing, there's not much for them to go on. And so you need to build that, personal connection and have them understand kind of your differentiated approach and why you're going to win deals, how you're going to find deals and source deals. And so, I think in some ways, again, easier than I thought, but now that I'm going out to Fund Two, I think Fund Two will be harder to raise, both just with the time that we're in, and this environment, and then also just given that now going to be moving a little bit more towards from just high net worth individuals and folks in my network and one or two clicks away from my network to looking to bring on, more institutional funding and things like that, where the process is longer and more arduous in a lot of ways, and less about, in some ways, still about me and my process and what I'm investing in, but also a little bit, you're competing against everyone else, who's an emerging manager and going after a lot of the same sources of fundraising.
And Tristan, what are your views on fundraising? I know you're currently in the midst of fundraising for your VC fund, so any insights you could share would be greatly appreciated.
And just to kind of update on that before I give my thoughts, we actually decided recently, before the beginning of the year, to postpone that due to a lot of the corrections that are happening in the industry. And also the fact that, us as a VC, we're financially solvent without having to raise more capital from family offices, institutional investors, and other venture funds. I think it is certainly equally as hard, to raise money as a solo GP as you would be a founder. Andrew brought up a really good point about how, regardless if you're a founder or you're, a venture partner, you're someone that's having to build connections, having to, compete for deal flow or compete for funding from other, sources. And at the same time, really try to be unique. Every VC at this point, I sort of compare it to how, you say you're the next coolest thing, but you have 10 different venture funds that all say we're backing the next generation of this, or the frontier of this. So for me, I've been very fortunate where, Spark, my VC, we've not had to raise outside capital in the 18 months that we've been operating as a VC. So a lot of the, investing has actually been out of my own personal, financing, which is relatively, better for us. And I think it also works very well because, as someone who, has a passion for angel and startup investing, I think a lot of the peers that I talk to in the space, both encouraged me to do that, to not take outside investment until being ready, mentally and track record wise to do that. And obviously over the last 18 months, it's done very well for us with the limited resources. We again invest both through private startups, we do public equities, we do publicly traded digital assets. So there's a lot that's going very well for us to the point where we don't need to raise money just yet. I've talked in private circles that if we did raise, we'd be easily looking at $5 to $10 million for our, a sort of venture fund one. Right now we're sort of in what I still like to call our, test run, or te phase one testing of a venture portfolio. So, short answer though, I think it's equally as hard as can be to raise money. You're estimating at least 6 to 9 months of the year of just trying to reach out to people and trying to get people, to see the vision that you have.
Yeah, I think you brought up some valid points, like that fundraising is like quite difficult as a solo GP, and just in general, it's quite a difficult process. So my next question and my last question, just to wrap this up, is so what's something that Tristan that you think will work or not for emerging managers and solo GPs heading into 2024?
Oh man, you know, that's a good question. Because I think, you know, there's so many ways that you can go about doing value addition, and sort of in your own contrarian or unique way of doing things. You know, one of my mentors is a guy by the name of Scott Henderson. He runs a startup accelerator in my state called M-Motion. And one of the biggest things that he taught me is you have to be scrappy, you have to think outside the box, and you also have to be willing to try doing different things. You know, one of the things that I think is really, you know, interesting with my background as an influencer and, you know, someone who launches entertainment brands all the time is I'm able to go to a lot of these startups that we back and say, how can we become invested into the product? You know, and I constantly talk to them, you know, both in phone calls and Zoom meetings and email about, hey, this is how the product can be better, promoting the product a lot of the times through, you know, my social media channels and our company channels as well. And then also at the same time, I think, you know, the biggest thing is that you need to think from the lens of you know that founder and figure you know what their challenges are and where you can really help you know solve those challenges. You know, a really good example I give of this is we invested into a company in the creator space that does LinkedIn bio and you know other creator tools, and we use the product widespread across multiple of my companies, but I'm in contact with their creator team, with their community team, with their product team, and I'm always talking to them and saying, hey, I feel like this can be better as a product. And then, you know, a couple months later, getting to actually see it before that goes live. And there's been other companies as well where we've invested into them and then looked at, you know, what, you know, other types of offerings, whether it's a service or a product base that they could move to improve their revenue. And, you know, also at the same time, I think one of the biggest things that startups struggle with is authentic marketing. Everyone these days sounds like a robot because a lot of the, you know, people managing social media channels for startups, they don't know how to communicate with individuals and consumers and sort of talk from an enterprise standpoint. So that's something we've done a lot, you know, with my VC where we sit down with founders and we say, you know, need to think of how to approach people on social media, whether it's TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, in a way that caters and doesn't feel like I'm hearing the same robotic corporate voice. So those are a few different ways how we approach value addition at Spark. Every VC has their own way of doing things. Every individual angel investor has their own way of doing things.
Really great to hear like how you do a value add and how you add value to your portfolio companies and how you leverage the power of social media. So Andrew, any kind of thing you would like to share on like the question that was posed?
Do you mind repeating like the exact prompt? I just want to make sure I'm answering.
Yeah, sure. So the prompt was, so what's something you think will work or not work for emerging managers and solo GPs as we head into 2024 and beyond?
I think the number one, number two, number three thing is showing how you can increase revenue. I'm in the middle of finalizing a deal where the company's in between rounds. They don't really need my capital, but I got introduced to them, and The capital is secondary to the connections, introductions on the customer side and on the partnership side that I can make. The product roadmap feedback is helpful. Helping them analyze their go-to-market strategy and things like that, all helpful. At the end of the day, number one, number two, number three things are money in the bank, getting that revenue up. So capital matters, but revenue matters more. And so I think for me, trying to frame what I'm doing as, here's my 250K, 500K, 750K check, but my goal is to beat that on the revenue side. And so I think that's, aligns well with a lot of what I'm trying to do with Fund Two, which is continue to focus on where I can make the biggest difference. And so overlapping that with, adding value through revenue is going to be critical.
Okay, and that wraps it up. So, could you both share like how the audience can get in touch with you, how they can like connect with you, learn more about what you guys are building, and maybe even possibly pitch to any of you guys?
Sure. If anyone wants to pitch, there's a pitch form on my site at irreverent.io, irrvrnt.io. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. I'm at irreverentvc, irrvrntvc. I'm not as active these days as it was. Trying to be mindful of my screen time. But yeah, always available. And look at every, cold inbound pitch and reply to every single one.
And then for myself, if anyone wants to reach out to me specifically, my Twitter, most of my social media is the same, but for Twitter specifically, it's Taze the God. That's Taze, the word the, and then the word God. This if you want to directly see what my venture fund is doing, our Twitter handle is SparkGCA, and then our website as well as sparkgca.com. I really recommend that what a lot of founders do is they reach out to me on Twitter first, and because I just love getting to meet people beforehand, before even getting to discuss business. And then also that way, I can make sure that, your company is a good fit. And if not, if it's not a good fit for the venture portfolio, we still work with startups in advisory and solving problems and things of that nature. But Twitter, Taze of God, is the best way to find me personally. I'm probably there 20 hours of the day.
For sure. So, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So, if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic, and India and US are the two largest country demographics of listeners for this podcast. Email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.